And then what makes you come to Wat Papantat?
I was not liking there very much. It was not very serious practice.
Hmm.
It was very community focused.
I know.
Like other Ajahn monasteries. So I thought it would be a good idea to come to a Dhammayutta monastery because I heard that you here tend to focus less on community and church and more on personal practice.
That's right. Now we do. We try to keep the chores as little as possible. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So that you don't have enough. That you don't take the time to sleep all the time, but to practice. Yeah. No, it's a practicing monastery, just like Wat Papantat. Yeah. They used to practice. Yeah. I mean, all the time. Yeah. And Lungda Mahabua also said about his monastery. I mean, we have to do the chores, yeah. I mean, but it is the chores, doing the chores is not practice, yeah. And I try to arrange it so that it takes up the least amount of time, so that we have the maximum time, you know, for practice. Yeah. And how old are you?
21 years old.
21 years. And how long have you been living in Thailand? How long have you been living in Thailand?
It's my first trip here. I arrived here in January 2023.
How did you come here? With all this?
Thailand opened to visitors, but we have to
quarantine.
Yeah, for 16 days, and I was in Bangkok, then I flight to Bonachatani, then to Rayong, then again to Bonachatani, then to Dongtani, then here.
Rayong. There's the monastery of Ajahn Suchart, yeah. But Yan.
Ajahn Anand.
Ajahn Anand, yeah. Ajahn Anand.
I briefly talked to him.
He's good, he's good. Yeah, I try to keep this place small with the least amount of, you know, work to do, so that we can really use the time, you know, to practice. Eh? And you will see, you know, I mean, if you're here 4 weeks and practice every day 12 to 16 hours, yeah, I mean, you will see how difficult it will get, yeah? Huh? So, and you expected at least, you know, I mean, if you took a course with, what is it, Goenka, yeah? I mean, there was 10 hours, yeah? Wasn't it? Tanalik, 10 hours of practice, yeah? So this is the minimum, yeah? But we can go up to 12, 14 hours, you know, per day, yeah? And practice, you know, really practice. And I mean, also at the Panna time, you know, there's only morning, yeah, Pindapat morning, you know, after that, you know, cleaning the sala, and in the afternoon, cleaning the monastery and cleaning your kuti, yeah? That's it, yeah? At the Panna time, you don't talk to each other, yeah? I mean, each time you talk to each other, you know, no matter if you call it Dhamma or not Dhamma, yeah? I mean, this conversation goes on in your practice, you know, when you go back to your kuti. And you will see it. Oh, I should have said this. Oh, I should have said that. Oh, no, you know, why didn't I, yeah? And it is difficult, yeah? So if you go, yeah? If you go and sit there and drink your coffee or drink your cold drink, yeah, and then don't talk about it, you know, just go back to your kutin practice, then you keep a certain rhythm, yeah? And it helps, you know, to get into samadhi easily, yeah? Much easier. And that is the first purpose of our practice here, to practice samadhi, yeah? To get the mind calm, you know, to stop thinking, to stop the mind engine, yeah? I mean, if anyone, you know, has driven a car, you know, into a nice forest reserve, or, you know, into a nature park, yeah? Don't put your... nature park, you know, and sit in the car, you know, with the air conditioner on, with the radio on, you know, I mean, all, you don't hear anything, yeah? So you turn off the radio, turn off the air conditioner, then you open the windows, and then suddenly you hear the thing that you think that haven't been there before. But it were all the time, you know. Just because of the noise of the air conditioner or the radio, yeah, I mean, we don't hear these things. And that is the same thing with our mind. Yeah? If you don't stop the mind engine, that means, you know, the thoughts that are coming up or the memories that are coming up, we don't see what is there. Yeah? There's always this knowing nature, there's always these things going on in the mind that we are not aware of, because thinking and memory are much more, much louder than what is going on in the heart. Yeah? And we want to go to the heart. Yeah? I mean, this is one of the prime motives, you know, to get down to the heart, to see what is going on. Yeah? All our life we have been following our thoughts, we have been following our memories, we have been following our ideas, yeah. Ah, yes, I should do this, and then we did this. Oh, yes, I should do that, and we did that, yeah. And we don't even notice, you know, what was going on in the heart. Why did we make this decision that we made? Huh? We don't know. This decision comes up, yeah. We think about it, maybe we should do this or should do it. But why? We should do it this or should do that, we don't know. And that is why it is so important to come down to the heart to see the movements or the motivation, you know, or the, and then the intention, you know, for doing something or for thinking something or for memorizing something. Huh? We should see that very clearly. And the only way, you know, how we can see it is either we use anapanasati, you know, the mindfulness of breathing in, breathing out, or awareness of breathing in and breathing out, or the mental repetition of buddho, 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 buddho. And whenever the mind goes out, instantly, when we catch it, yeah, I mean, in the beginning it can be a few minutes before we catch it, then we instantly bring it back. We don't ask, why did this memory come up? Oh, I haven't had that for a long time. This proliferates into thinking. We see the mind goes out, we bring it back. We see the mind goes out, we bring it back until it stays. Yeah? Just like the training of the king's war elephant that the Lord Buddha described. Yeah? I mean, first you catch the wild elephant and then you tie it to a pole where it cannot get away from. Once he sees that he cannot get away, of course he tries, goes out, but the rope is too short, yeah, I mean he cannot go. And then finally he lays down and sleeps, yeah. And that's, you know, that is a similar for samadhi, yeah. When the mind is completely empty, when the mind is completely calm, yeah. And that is also, it is also our energizing point. It is recharging our batteries. Because whenever the mind is thinking, whenever the mind is memorizing, it takes a lot of energy. We don't have this energy. We just spoil it. Yeah? So when we train samadhi, I mean, we get down really until thoughts and memories stop. Yeah? And then there's still the world of experience. Yeah? But that is completely different than we know it. Yeah? Because the world of experience, there is nobody who takes hold of the experience. Not that I am calm, oh, this is so nice, yeah? Because this is thinking, yeah? That is not anymore experiencing. This is taking the experience into form of thought and leading us out. It's really, yeah? May already. The storms are coming. It is amazing, yeah? I mean, we skipped 2 months, huh? So this is important to get the mind completely calm, yeah? To see what is going on, the world of experience, yeah? Because with the world of experience, yeah, we experience things, you know, we still hear, we still feel things, but there is nobody who takes hold of the experience. Yeah? I mean, most of the time we are calm, or sometimes we are happy, or sometimes, you know, we have pity, yeah, and the tears are running down, because, I mean, we haven't experienced things like that. Yeah? But that is different for every person, you know, it doesn't matter. For some people, they just are completely calm, completely peaceful, or completely calm. It doesn't have to be. And in this world of experience, you know, or it's called Upachara Samadhi or Access Samadhi. In this world of experience, there is no future and there is no past. I mean, so we're just there in the present moment all the time. Yeah? As long as we're in Samadhi, we're in the present moment. Yeah? There are just things happening. Yeah? Be it feeling, be it, you know, be it touching, and so on. Yeah? We just experience certain things. And then, yeah, when there is no future, when there is no past, you know, there is no fear, there is no loneliness, yeah. I mean, how often did we experience in our life loneliness, yeah? Even when we are together with our loved one, you know, we still are lonely, yeah? Because, yeah, this is this person and this is that person, yeah? I mean, we still are lonely, yeah? We try to overcome it, you know, but this doesn't work. Yeah? This loneliness has gone, the fear has gone, you know, future has gone, past has gone, and so we are free of all these things. Yeah? And then we still keep, don't make the mistake, you know, when these nice feelings arise because of the calmness or because of the happiness or whatever it is, don't jump onto these feelings. Yeah? Stay with the Buddha or stay with the breath. This is really important because we want to go one level deeper. Yeah? I mean, yes, you can, I mean, you will do it anyway, you know, I just say it. Yeah? You will do it anyway, you will, oh, this is so nice, and then you stay with the feeling, and then suddenly this feeling disappears, you know, and say, oh, where is it now? Yeah? How did this feeling arise? Yeah? Because of our continuous practice of pulling the mind back. Yeah? But we need to stay on with the Buddha, we need to stay on with the breath until the breath stops. It really stops, yeah? And then we shouldn't be afraid. Then we jump. Then we jump to the knowingness. Yeah? Then we jump to the knowingness of the breath. Jump to the knowing that knows that the breath has stopped. This jump is a little bit difficult. We have to probably try it a few times, yeah? But if you're interested, you know, I mean, it just leads us right through, yeah? Most people are just suddenly afraid, you know, suddenly afraid, oh, what is happening, yeah? And the moment this thought, what is happening, comes up, you know, I mean, they're out, yeah? And then they have to do the whole thing again, yeah? And then they have to go slowly in, you know, until they come to the point, and then fear comes up, you know, or something comes up, you know? But if you're interested, you know, if you just follow the movement of the mind, I mean, it just leads you directly into Apana Samadhi or Deep Samadhi, yeah? The breath stops, you know, and everything stops. The whole world ceases, or the whole universe actually ceases to exist. Yeah? And before that, you know, you will feel, no matter if you do the Buddha or if you do the breath, you feel that the body, you know, slowly disappears. You can't feel your arms. You don't have any sense for the arms anymore, for the legs anymore, for the lower torso. The only thing that you're aware of is around the citta. Yeah? Because at that time, you know, the attention has dropped from the Buddha down to the heart, you know, or from the breath down to the heart. Yeah? Don't force it, you know, because that will never work. Yeah? And then what is that? Yeah? Now, Apana Samadhi, we can't say anything about it because it is out. Yeah? It's singularity. Yeah? Yeah? What can you say about singularity? I mean, we are living in a duality. Yeah? So we have object, we have an object, and we have a subject, and we have an object. Yeah? When subject and object move, that means when the knowingness of the breath, yeah, comes together with the object of the breath, yeah, then it's a singularity, and there's nothing that you can say. Yeah? The only thing, you know, when you come out, you know, you know, you haven't been sleeping, yeah, but you don't know anything else, yeah. Most of the time, yeah? You don't know anything else, huh? You don't know where you were, you know? I mean, you were in what Lungda Mahabho called the preview of Nibbana, yeah? This is the preview of Nibbana. That is the end stage, you know, where the arahants go, yeah? Or where the arahants are, you know, when they are not busy, you know, as long as they are alive, when they are not busy, yeah, doing things or doing that. But parinibbana, then they are in the state. So if you want to know what it is all about, yeah, and I can guarantee you the first thought, you know, when you come out is, how do I get back, yeah? You don't, I mean, all this mess, you know, all these sense bombardments that come afterwards. You know, I mean, you see, you know, we are so used to it, you know, from the moment we are born. We are constantly bombarded by these senses, yeah? I mean, we have six senses. We have the sense of thought, we have the sense of touch, we have the sense of smell, we have the sense of seeing, and we have the sense of hearing, and so on, yeah? And these bombard us constantly, yeah? So, I mean, we are constantly busily trying to figure out, you know, what is this, which senses is, you know, and what we are going to do, and so on, so that we don't even know, you know, what is a life without the senses, yeah? And this is like, you know, I mean, it is like if you're in the middle of the war, you know, between two parties, yeah? Everybody shoots bullets, yeah? So, normally, you know, the first thought is, how do I get back? I don't want to live in this world, yeah? I mean, what is the point of it, yeah? I mean, the whole universe can cease to exist. I mean, isn't that amazing? Yeah? And this body, yeah, you're not even aware of it anymore. Huh? So when you go out, you know, I mean, it's not going out, it's not going anywhere, it's just going, you know, going inside. I mean, the contact to the body is completely cut off, yeah. I mean, they can chop off your body, you know, in little bits and pieces, and you don't know anything about it. Only when you come back out of this, yeah, you see, oh, this body is unusable, yeah? And then you just look for another body, or for another birth. Yeah? That, it is really amazing, you know? And we can do it if we put our mind to it. But, as I said in the beginning, we really have to concentrate and don't engage in any conversation, because each conversation, yeah, I mean, is two steps backwards, you know, from entering the deep state of samadhi, yeah? It is also more difficult, you know, to enter upachara samadhi or access samadhi. The more we talk, the more we get, yeah? And some people start to read, yeah? I mean, it is, even though it is Dhamma, it is not helpful. We have enough Dhamma, we heard enough Dhamma, yeah? And we come to a place where we just want to practice, yeah? I mean, at the time of the Lord Buddha, there were no Dhamma books, huh? I mean, he gave a talk, you know, and the people had to memorize it, you know, and then they just did their work, yeah? And then he heard another talk, yeah? Or maybe they sometimes ask, you know, went to Ajahn Anand or Sariputta, you know, and ask, you know, I mean, well, how do I get to go with this problem, yeah? And then they got an answer and they go back to practice, yeah? And the more we read, the more we think we know. But this kind of knowing is a false kind of knowing. The knowingness, you know, of the mind is different from the knowingness of the heart. The knowingness of the heart is this very silent voice. It is not really a voice. It is a knowing, yeah? And as long as thoughts and memories are coming up, you know, we don't see it, yeah? We only can feel it. We can only experience. And then we can ask, yeah? When there are no more thoughts and no more memories going on. And then you can ask some questions. And sometimes, you know, these answers just pop out of the blue, yeah? So once we train, and we should only start, you know, that this is the part of samadhi. And now let's go down to the part of panya, of wisdom, developing wisdom. And the first and foremost thing is, you know, the development of wisdom about the body, yeah? There are five khandhas that we have to investigate, and the first is the body, yeah? Together with the body comes the feeling, yeah? And probably when we sit long in samadhi, when we still try to develop our samadhi, I mean, there will be some pain, yeah? So the first thing is probably pain investigation, yeah? What is pain? Where is the pain? You know, is it moving? Is it changing? Is it, yeah? Where does it come from, yeah? Investigating pain, yeah? It is in the right knee. So, I mean, then we ask the questions, yeah? But we don't make up the answers, yeah? We ask the question, where's the pain? And then we look, yeah? And then we observe, yeah? We are not interested in the answers, yeah? We want to see what is happening, yeah? We are just like a physicist, you know, watching an experiment. You know, he asks the question in the beginning, what is happening when I do this and this? And then he observes and observes and observes and observes, yeah? Until he understands. if he is distracted for a moment, you know, he don't see the answer. He don't understand the whole process, yeah? And that is the same thing with investigating pain, or later on investigating the body. When the process, you know, when the process of observation, through observation, we understand. It used to be that way, you know, 200 or 300 years ago, you know, the first scientist used to observe birds, or used to observe plants, you know, and then they knew, you know, then they understood. They didn't think about, you know, what is this plant doing, yeah? They just looked, observed, you know, when I do this, this is happening. When I observe the birds, what are they doing, you know? You cannot change the birds, you know, I mean, you observe it. And that's what we do. We observe the pain, yeah? When we observe the pain and ask, you know, where is it? Where actually is it, yeah? Is it in the skin? Is it in the flesh? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the muscles? Is it in the bones, yeah? And each time, you know, I mean, we have bones, you know, we have muscles since we are born, you know, but we are not always in pain. So where exactly is it? And the closer we come to the truth, yeah, then it will switch, yeah, and switch from one location to the next location. And then we realize, yeah, I mean, it was excruciating pain, you know, in the left knee, you know, and then suddenly this pain is gone and moved to another place. How can that physically happen, yeah, if that is really physical pain, yeah? I mean, if I cut my finger, there's physical pain. Yeah? If somebody stabs me, there's physical pain for a long, long time until it heals. Yeah? But this pain, you know, this pain of when we sit in samadhi, you know, I mean, it is virtual, you know, it is a fake pain. Yeah? But we believe it is to be excruciating, and we believe the kilesas that constantly tell us, you sit too long, you break your legs, and you ruin your body. And we believe it, yes. Yes, my Lord, we say, yes, my Lord, you're right, you know, I mean, you have guided me all my life, you know, towards hell, you know, I mean, you must be right, yeah? No. And that's not like it is, yeah? I mean, these are the kilesas that constantly whisper in our ears. Oh, you said long enough, oh, now it is good, you know, I mean, and then we stop, yeah? We say, yes, my Lord, yes, my Lord, yes, my Lord, yeah? I mean, do we like to be slaves of this slave master? Yeah, that is called avijja. Yeah? Ask yourself. He tells us, now I need to drink, now I need to stand up, now I need to do this. The Dhamma that is in our heart, you know, and that we try to develop, never wants anything. Yeah? Then, resting inside. Yeah? It never asks us anything. So if you think, you know, the Dhamma asks you to look at the sutta number 400, number 129, because you want to know something, then it is not the Dhamma, it is the kilesas who want distraction. Yeah? You have to understand that. You have to understand the power of avijja. Yeah? And if it would be so easy, you know, to disobey the power of avijja, I mean, we would be, you know, after 2 or 3 months, we would be free, yeah? But it is so difficult, you know, the attachment, it is so deeply rooted, you know, especially deeply rooted in the body, yeah? And the first thing, you know, with the body investigation, you start with the pain investigation during samadhi. And you only should do a pain investigation during samadhi when you cannot concentrate on your Buddha anymore, or when you cannot concentrate on the breath anymore. Then you should turn towards, you know, and then say, okay, you go... Instead of your observation of the breath or observation of the Buddha, you go with your point of observation towards the pain, yeah? And then investigate it, yeah? I mean, look, anicca anatta dukkha, yeah? Look at this, you know, and then ask, where actually is it, you know? And really be interested, be so interested, yeah? I mean, you can sit much, much longer if you get interested in the pain, yeah? You can sit for hours, you know, and just look at it, yeah? You don't get tired, yeah? Oh, I'm so tired. Oh. Yeah, that is when the chitta gets calm. Then we get tired, you know, and then we want to go to sleep, you know, and the chitta slowly falls asleep, you know, and we don't notice it, you know, and then we wake up, and then our neck hurts, or this hurts, or that hurts, yeah, and then we know we haven't gone into samadhi, but we have gone into sleep. Then the main part, you know, once we can go into samadhi every day, upachara samadhi every day to rest the mind, then we can start, you know, in the beginning just 1 hour body investigation. We look at our life, you know, we look at the beginning of our life when we were born. And what did we do? We had to train this body. We had to train this body to learn, you know, to move the hands, move the arms, and move, and then learn to walk, then learn to talk, then learn to write, then learn to think, then learn to read, I mean, it took us 18 years, you know, 16 to 18 years until we could fully, use this body, And then, if you're still young, you don't know it, but, you know, I mean, then look at your parents, you know, with 40 or 50, it starts to decay, I mean, it gets worse, you know, this falls, you know, falls apart, that falls apart. It's just like with an old car, you know, the older the car gets, the more it needs to go to the to repair shop, And the older the human being gets, the more often he needs to go to the doctor or to the hospital, So, that's nothing else, you know. I mean, the realization from this part of the investigation is that we are not this body, you know. There is this body, and we inherit the body, just like, you know, we have a car, and we are the driver of the car. So, if the driver of the car falls asleep, you know, the car doesn't do anything. It's just the same with the body. Yeah, as long as the body starts to move here and move there, you know, I mean, the chitta is still active, It's still, you know, driving this body. Once the chitta is completely calm, and we can experience that in upachara samadhi already, when we go a little bit deeper, the body is completely calm, you know, and it doesn't move, doesn't move left, and there's no pain, anymore. So, and then, you know, then we have it, you know, 40 years, we can use it with the full strength, Probably only 20 years, you know, because then it decays, slowly decays, And then when we are 50, you know, I mean, we have 30 years or 40 years, you know, and waiting for death, That is human life in a nutshell, Training 18 years, using it 30 years, but what do we use it for, This is the question we should ask ourselves. What is the purpose of our life, I mean, we constantly work for this body. We exercise this body. We do all sorts of things. All our world, you know, when you look at the shops, you know, when you look at the shopping mall, all our shopping malls are around the body, Looking after the body, either be it, you know, food-wise, either be it, you know, clothes-wise, or anything else, Or health-wise, you know, if there's a doctor there, and so on. So all our concern, we work, you know, at the beginning of our life, you know, the parents, you know, gave us everything what we needed, and then they stopped, you know, and then we worked for this body, we had some work to do, you know, so we earned some money so that we can live, But what is the purpose of our life? Why? I mean, just to work? Do we live for working, or do we work for living? You know, I mean, what is the purpose, what is the real purpose of our life? And then when we are old, you know, we are too tired, you know, we don't really want to ask this question, you know, we just want to enjoy, you know, the rest of our life until we die. So what is the, you know, ask yourself, what is the purpose of your life? Why did you come here? Why, not in this monastery, why did you come into this life? What's the meaning of the life? Okay, now you found Buddhism. You know, okay, this life, and then comes the next life, and the next life, and there's, you know, it's just like a hamster wheel, you know, turning around, running. But when you look at a hamster in a hamster wheel, it doesn't go anywhere. It always stuck at the same level. But it runs, just like us, working, yeah? And then he dies, and then he's born again as hamster, working. Is that fun? Is that what you want? You know, I mean, then you are here at the wrong place. But if you want to find the way out, and that is the only religion in the world, you know, that teaches us the way out, is Buddhism. Any other religion talks about a God, talks about heaven, talks about hell. Yes, in Buddhism there's heaven and there's hell. But there's also Nibbana. That doesn't exist in any other religion. It only exists, you know, in Buddhism. So it is the only true religion. Who the founder, the Lord Buddha, who found the way out. and was teaching us, and telling us, I mean, what leads to this kind of birth, what leads to that kind of birth, what leads to this kind of appearance, or what leads to that kind of appearance, and he taught us the way out, see, Samadhi, Panya, Sila, I mean the five precepts, Samadhi I talked about, and Panya I talked a little bit about it. Okay, that is enough for today. So face pain, Be interested. When you're interested in one thing, when you're 100% interested, you're gone. It doesn't matter if you're interested in the Buddha, if you're interested in the breath, if you're completely interested in every nuance of the breath, or every nuance of the Buddha, or every nuance of the pain, you're gone. 100% concentration is 100%, it's actually deep samadhi. You're gone, instantly. It just can last, when I was training very hard, it took me 1, 2, 3, and then I was gone. And then an hour later or 2 hours later, what is happening? So the interest is the important thing. Not a Buddha. And when you do walking meditation, I think the last time I talked, whenever you turn around, just this one path I want to be with the Buddha or with the breath, just this one path, And then you turn around again, and then just this one path, So each time you turn around, you put up your new determination, And that leads very, very quickly to samadhi if you really do it like that. And then after walking, then you sit down, and then you already have a level of calmness that isn't destroyed so easily. Okay, any questions?
Yes, just want to share an experience very, very briefly and ask for a comment. So I've been meditating for a few years and I've always wanted something to help me focus while I was not on sitting meditation, so while I was doing something else. And then I started repeating Buddha mentally, and of course I didn't get into deep samadhi, but it was incredible how many silly thoughts I caught.
Okay.
And so I'd like you to talk a little bit about this mental repetition of Buddha while we do sweeping or helping on Vidapana and other activities.
Yeah, I mean we wake up with the Buddha and we go to sleep with the Buddha, and why? The beauty about this kind of monastery is, any kind of Kamatana monastery, it is very simple, You don't have to think. When you sweep, you don't have to think. You have to observe, you sweep and observe, and while you can do that, you can do the Buddha, I used to train, with the breath, I was doing Anapanasati. You can do the same thing. You observe your breath, While I was bicycling, I was observing my breath, I mean, when I went to work, I was very, very aware, of my breath while I was cycling, and so on. And then I put my bicycle away, and then I went up to work, and then 8 hours was gone. I mean, my awareness was completely gone because I started to, sit on my desk, and then, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to look after this, I have to look after that. I mean, these are thoughts, And then I said, what the hell, 8 hours, without any awareness are gone, So, I mean, these kind of activities that we do here are very simple, I mean, sometimes we do some work, that is necessary to do, fix up some things. So you keep the Buddha, or you keep the breath. If you can do that, you can keep the breath, You always put your attention on the breath, Or with the Buddha. And that is absolutely helpful. I mean, I used to say, when you wake up, Buddha, or your attention on the breath. And you remind yourself, no matter if you sit formally or walk formally, you still stay with the breath, or we still stay with the Buddha all day long. I mean, this is the fast track, I mean, this is the highway. No, this is the German Autobahn that leads you to Samadhi. Okay? Yes, good. And I haven't talked about it for a while. Yeah, Carlos.
Did we we talked about intent, looking for the intention.
Yeah.
And a couple times I can start to see the intention.
Yeah.
And then what I do, I start saying Guru Master.
Yeah.
That's the kind of trying to get in between and not let the intention take hold.
Yes. Yes, you can do that, you know, or you just see the intention and just say no interest. Yeah? You can do this, you know, or you can do puto 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 puto, yeah. But normally to see the intention, I mean, it takes a lot of sati, it takes a lot of awareness. Normally what we are aware of is a train of thought of maybe 5 or 10 thoughts, you know, and then if our awareness or sati comes better, you know, we see 3 thoughts, then we see 2 thoughts, then we see 1 thought, then we see 1/2 thought, then we see 1/4 thought, yeah. It hasn't really thought out yet, yeah. You see just the starting of the thought, what am I doing? Yeah, I don't want to think, yeah. And then you stop it. And then you see the beginning of a thought, and then you see the intention of thinking. And the intention, when you really see the intention, it only gives you the direction, because the thought has not appeared yet. It gives you only the direction of what, you know, what, in which direction you want to think, yeah? And then you see it and say, no, no interest, yeah? No, and then it disappears, yeah? But what came before this intention, yeah? That is what brings up this intention, yeah. What is the motivation, you know? What is the motivation to think? That comes even before the intention, yeah. So if we see that, you know, there is this, and there's always some sort of restlessness, some sort of dissatisfaction, some sort of dukkha that, you know, motivates us to think or to memorize or, you know, whatever, yeah, or to do something. Yeah? And it's always the same thing, yeah. There's this permanent restlessness, and sometimes when you're good, when you're really calm, yeah, I mean, you can see it, you know, this chitta constantly moving, you know, you don't let it out, you know, it's just like the elephant, you put it, yeah, it still wants to go out, you know, you see it bumps against, you know, bumps against the limit that you set or the border that you set it, but it cannot go out because your sati is so strong, yeah, but it's still this restlessness, yeah, and you have to, Over time, you know, it will calm down and calm down until you really can enter up in the samadhi. Okay? Any more questions? Not yet? Okay. Yeah, then go and practice. You know, use the time wisely, yeah?